Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Howdy, howdy. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Mitch, Jim's producer, setting in while Jim has some legal meetings and some things he's attending to right now. So Jim won't be here for, I don't know, he's not sure how long. It'll be a little bit. But anyway, we're going to start. This is The Raw Deal, streaming live from Franklin County, Virginia. That's where I'm from. Of course, Jim is streaming live when he gets here from Oregon, Wisconsin. So come on down and join us on freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. We're streaming around the world in Studio B. Call in and listen to the show, 518-906-1859. To catch Studio B, 1-839 to catch Studio A. That number again is to reach The Raw Deal, 518-906-1859 to call in and listen to this show. Revolution Radio is streaming around the world in more than 40 streaming services like iTunes, TalkStreamLive.com, TuneIn, Shoutcast, Winamp, Assessify, Radiomony, Open Radio app, and many more. You can always come down to the station at the freedomslips.com, revolution.radio website, and join us in the Matrix Freedom Slips chat room, where everybody's in there talking right now. Fleeced and Dawns to you. There's a Patrick and Malaya and Cannon Sanders. Factor Theory Live is also in the house. The RSS bot and Maced and many others. Coming and going, and some just rubbernecking and some watching. So join us. Join us, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, thank you, Dawns. I hope you're having a great day. Hey, Vet, God bless you, man. Thank you for your service. And thank everybody who's served to protect our country. We may not agree with our political leaders at times, But we do know and understand that freedom is not free and requires the, at times, the ultimate sacrifice. So you can be free and I can be free to say the things that are true. So thanks for joining us, everybody. God bless you. Jim will be joining us. I'm not sure if it's going to be at the bottom of the hour or the top of the hour, but hey, God bless you, Jim, and thanks for tuning in. And if Jim doesn't join by the first hour, you know, we're going to open up the phone lines a little later. Hey, let's get to some news and information that will change your world. Carrie Lake, Arizona, a gubernatorial candidate who lost a lawsuit against the Maricopa County and the Katie Hobbs and the election system, as a Maricopa County judge dismissed her lawsuit challenging the midterm elections. Carrie Lake has appealed and says she filed a notice of appeal with the same Arizona Superior Court judge on Tuesday to challenge the dismissal of her case. Lake will also seek a direct review by the Arizona Supreme Court. Arizona Superior Court Judge Peter Thompson first ruled against Lake's decision on December 24th, giving Democrats a Christmas gift, confirming the election of Katie Hobbs as Arizona governor-elect. He ordered Hobbs' side to file a statement of costs and a motion for sanctions before December the 26th. On December 27th, Thompson found there wasn't enough evidence of misconduct by the Maricopa County to overturn the election results in the gubernatorial election in Maricopa County. His ruling came days after Lake filed her lawsuit and after Thompson allowed two of the 10 election claims to go to a short two-day trial. This is absolutely ludicrous. When you dismiss essentially 80% of the claims and then say, well, the 20% that we looked at just wasn't enough to overcome the vote deficit. Of course, this direct negligence, whether purposeful or not, certainly affected the election. And certainly this election in Arizona, there were tens of thousands of voters who were disenfranchised. Because they are Republican voters, they can never be found to have been discriminated against. However, if tens of thousands of Democrat voters in any state that I can think of were effectively slam bammed and locked out by massive lines, by clear mistakes, what we have, ladies and gentlemen, is negligence. Does it rise to the level of a criminal act? That's another question. But because you do your job poorly, does that reflect, and is that a, what would you call that? Is that a direct failure? Because you didn't intentionally do it. You just weren't up to par. You know, you were elected and got into office or whatever and were selected because of the Peter principle. You did good at another job, even though you completely failed in this last several elections at your current job. It's certainly crazy. According to election data, Lake lost to Hobbs by about 17,000 votes. Lake filed a lawsuit against Hobbs in her capacity as the current Secretary of State, who oversaw her own election, which she narrowly won. Isn't that a hell of a thing? I'm standing up for the people of this state, she said, the people who were done wrong on election day, and the millions of people who live outside of Maricopa County whose vote was watered down by this bogus election in Maricopa County. The judge denies the request on the 27th to sanction Lake and her legal team over her lawsuit challenging the results of the 2022 election. Maricopa County officials filed a motion against Lake and her legal team the day before. Hobbs joined in on the motion. Enough really is enough. It's past time to end unfounded attacks on election officials and unwarranted accusations against election officials. Like hell it is. Effing bullshit. Look, these Glock guys ran a clown election. In the audit of the 2020 election where it was stolen, and I'll say stolen from Donald Trump, what we know, what we see, and what we understand is the complete failure of our election system and the anomalies that are in it that are clear evidence. Clear statistical evidence of fraud and corruption. When there are districts that all around one area, they have, 20, 15, 20, 30% rejection rate on their mail-in ballots. And then you get to the Democratic strongholds, and what do you end up with? Oh, 0.3% or 3% or some abnormally low number, because Democrats push everything through. Why? Because they know more than likely it's a Democrat vote if they're voting by mail. The law of averages is with them. We saw in the recall petition for Gascon in Los Angeles, we saw the direct malfeasance, the direct lies by the Department of Elections in their auditing of the signatures for that ballot petition. It was a crime. It was the new liberal Jim Crow Law 2.0. This is what we're seeing. This is what we're experiencing today. Liberals using racism, reverse racism, straight up racism, and even, upside down racism to get their way to become an entrenched power that cannot be getting out of office. What we see is this rigging of the elections and the election systems. As you're aware, I'm probably aware, the billion-dollar crypto criminal Sam Bankman-Fried is, free on bail at his parents' home with a bracelet on. Now, magically, crypto wallets associated with the now bankrupt trading firm Almeida Research, the sister company of FTX, were activated. And they were transferring funds out just days after Sam Bankman was released on bond. Now, according to Ergo, Ergo BTC, Almeida Ether addresses are digging around in the sofa for spare change and swapping back bits of ERC20s for Etherin and USDT. Anyway, they're funneling through instant exchanges. This is a this should be shut down, whatever it is and whatever they're doing. Many speculated that the pattern in which these funds are being swapped looks like an exploiter, you know, essentially using the money to swap out for others. Bankman-Fried's known criminal past was one of these, how should we say it? It could be that an insider job to take whatever is left out of the wallets. So people are speculating that this is Bankman and his cronies and insiders, you know, trying to strip the rest of anything that's worth anything out of FTX. I don't know how true that is, but what I do know is Joe Biden, the pedo president of the United States of America, has gone on vacation to the U.S. Virgin Islands, basically the same vicinity that Bankman ran his scheme from. The real question is Joe Biden going to collect his 10% from FTX, from Almeida? Is Hunter Biden delivering paintings to the, you know, to the Bankman family at a home, at their homes in the Bahamas and the U.S. Virgin Islands? I mean, you have to ask that because, you know, we got a pedo president, and it's sick. It's really, it's an embarrassment to the United States of America. You know what else is an embarrassment, and it should be an embarrassment to the black community? All of the, you know, all of the times that we see these viral videos of people going, well, bananas and berserk and having a what do you call that? I guess you call that a temper tantrum when they're out in public at a store. I didn't get any ketchup or mustard or pickles or whatever. Good God. It's sheer crazy. Anyway, those episodes were happening, you know, of course, over the holidays. And, you know, one of the favorite places to go to see that stuff today, we now know, is what? It's not the Outback Steakhouse, that's for sure. Anyway, yeah, I mean, think about it. It's literally crazy, the, you know, the way people act. Ah, man, I'm telling you. So just be aware and, you know, understand what's happening today. Right now, going on, there is a massive debate, and it shouldn't even be a debate. It shouldn't even be a question. As Italian health authorities have started testing arrivals flying in from China for COVID. Now, what they have found, that almost half of the passengers on two flights were found to have the virus. China, a second time, is trying to flood the world with the Chinese flu 2.0. If China was a responsible nation on this planet, it wouldn't be allowing people to, essentially, infected people to fly around the world and cause more devastation. German health authorities are said watching closely the situation in China. Boy, you know, they don't learn a lot, do they? I mean, really, it's already too late. You're not going to be able to stop the spread if a new variant or whatever is coming in from China. And so many people have already come in, you can't stop it. I mean, I don't know what health authorities think. I don't know. Governments are always slow to react. And then by the time they react with such a hammer that, number one, what they're doing isn't making a difference. And number two, it's just crushing and smashing society and the government's own credibility. Yeah, so the China's National Health Commission announced December 26th that the country would end all quarantine requirements for inbound travelers. So they need to a negative PCR test within 48 hours of departure. Now the question is, are these cheek swabs or, you know, the good old U.S. diplomatic anal swabs? Listen, why don't they send that a couple of those American Fruit Loops that they have in the health department over and get anal swabs and come back and say how good it is? I mean, that sounds crazy. That's what these idiots would do. Ah, they're stupid on stupid. Hey, yeah, man, after half of America's infected, hey, let's lock down now. After all, Massachusetts school is now trying to tell kids when they come back from winter break or Christmas break that they will have to wear masks. I was not shocked, but I was dismayed over the weekend and over the past week for the number of people that I saw wearing mouth diapers in local stores. I would say it was a 50-50 split. And the really noticeable thing that I saw was that even the Kens and the Karens that were wearing the masks, they weren't looking at you like you were crazy. They weren't trying to intimidate you. They weren't trying to shut you down and say, "Get out of my store. I bet you're unvaccinated too." You know, like they used to, or maybe they still do on the left coast because, well, most man child and women children live out there, it seems. They've never grown into adulthood. Well, at least that's what it seems to me, but hell, who knows? But it has changed. And, you know, this since the sheeple have to admit that the vaccine doesn't work. It doesn't keep you from getting infected. It doesn't keep you from passing an infection that you got onto somebody else. And it doesn't last, like they said, that you need booster after booster or a double shot. And, you know, you need a booster for the booster. Now we're up to five if you're losing count. I think pretty soon Pfizer is going to give out gold shekels if you get the six pack, and then you get an extra bonus. Yeah, you get a Vax coin. Yeah, that's going to be the next high value cryptocurrency, Vax coin. I'm just kidding. Anyway, how dense? How much cognitive dissonance do you actually need before you call as intelligent people that have graduated college, as most, you know, liberals, I'm a smart, you know, I graduated college and I got my master's and I got my doctorate and I just look at my brain pan. Meanwhile, they're taking the fifth shot and they're thinking, man, look at those fools. They're still unvaccinated. They should get their shots. But you keep getting shots because it doesn't work. That's not intelligence. That's not rational behavior. That means you're so smart that you can be indoctrinated into a system and you can learn how to dot the I's, cross the T's, where to put the commas and the semicolons and the capitals and the verbs and the pronouns, and you got it all right. And you're so smart, but you can't see the control through the system, like seeing the forest, looking at the horizon and not seeing the trees, but looking back and seeing the entire forest. But you're so close, most people are focused on just, well, one tree. Well, anyway, we should be hitting the break about now. Come on down and join us. FreedomSlips.com. Revolution.radio. We'll be right back.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, thanks once again to Mitchell for filling in. Well, I had to take care of legal matters. This whole thing has been quite an experience and a travail when you're pro se and representing yourself. Even when it comes to filing electronically, it's not at all routine for someone like myself, in spite of the fact that I've now been engaged in this lawsuit since late 2018, when it was initially filed, and of course they've carried it all the way to the United States Supreme Court without success. Now, along the way, and this happened right after I filed my petition with the Supreme Court, they've gone after the book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, and my blog, jamesfetzer.org, and through a series of inappropriate measures, they were taken, they were granted by the court, to Posner. So right now he owns the book and these blogs, but the fact of the matter is, he's not using them to make money. I mean, as I explained to the judge at the time, the book's of no value unless you can market the book. And because he brought a suit against me for three sentences in the book, which were alleged to be defamatory, but only those three sentences, and has no interest in marketing the book, therefore he's not making money from it. That violates Wisconsin statutes, which say that monetary judgments can only be satisfied by monetary awards. And since books and blogs are not monetary awards, it was improper on that ground. Moreover, the Wisconsin statutes explain that if you want to convert intellectual property, something of non-monetary value, to money, in order to satisfy a monetary judgment, then a receiver has to be appointed, where the receiver will put it up for bids and find out how much someone's willing to bid for it. And then at such point, if a bid were successful and it began producing money, at the point where it had satisfied the judgment against me, in this case, we're talking about the $450,000 for liability as opposed to the $650,000 for contempt of court when I sought to find an impeachment witness in the conviction that the party who came to Madison and testified under the name of Leonard Posner was in fact not Leonard Posner. But the judge just ignored all of that and went ahead and gave it to Posner. I mean, this is a legal fiction, all right? The government is operating behind a legal fiction here to bring all these lawsuits and whatever, whatever, whatever. So I'm now in the, having been defeated at the Supreme Court, which I believe was going to reverse all of this, I'm now back in the Court of Appeals contesting the taking of the book and the blog. Now, I believe my case is rock solid because, as you've already heard me explain, this taking was in violation of two very clear principles of Wisconsin law about not being able to convert non-monetary into, you know, as a use that as a way of satisfying a monetary judgment and having to appoint a receiver, neither of which was done. And the court, the judge himself acknowledged that's what was going on. So this is very clear cut, in my opinion, from a legal point of view. It's not a tough case whatsoever. And with the opportunity to go back to the Court of Appeals, and because of my experience with the Supreme Court, I was able to make rather telling observations. Now, if you go to the Court of Appeals in Wisconsin, you ought to be able to download that, or I can, I'll find a way to make it available, because it's pretty damn interesting stuff I have here. So I'll find a way of making it available to you publicly. I'll probably have a link once I get it uploaded on Twitter, and you can see exactly what's going on here. Remember, State of the Nation was so impressed with what I was doing with my petition to the Supreme Court. They said my case may be or may raise the most important issue of our lifetime before the Supreme Court. And that's because it revolves around the right to a trial by jury. And as you must all now be aware, if you have been following the raw deal for a while, none of the Sandy Hook cases, not one, not the three Alex Jones trials, not the three Alex Jones cases, not the Remington case, not my case, none of them were decided on the merits. None of them went to a jury to determine the facts. In every one of these cases, they were decided or settled on procedural grounds. Frankly, it's absurd beyond belief. As you know, I sought to intervene in all four of those other cases, all three of the Alex Jones and the Remington, to make the point that there's never been a judicial determination that anybody died at Sandy Hook, and there's massive evidence that nobody died at Sandy Hook, including, of course, the FEMA manual for the exercise, the FBI Consolidated Crime Report of 2012 showing zero in the intersection for homicide and non-negligent manslaughter for Newtown. Zero. A big fat zero. For Sandy Hook is a subdivision of Newtown. So if it's zero for Newtown, it's zero for Sandy Hook. Plus a critique of the official account, which is by Stephen Sadinsky III, which fails to create a causal nexus that connects the alleged shooter, Adam Lanza, with the weapons he's supposed to have used, a .22 caliber rifle to shoot his mother at home. And then this AR-15 he's supposed to have used to shoot up 20 kids and 6 adults at the school. Now, Scott Bennett was the first to point out to me, but it's absolutely true, that the weapon had a corroded barrel. It was a Vietnam-era weapon. In other words, it was a prop. Not only that, but I also submitted to the Supreme Court an Appendix E, and you can find all this on my blog at jameshfetzer.org. If you go to the press release authored by Ron Avery explaining why my case is so important, where in the introductory paragraph I provide links to all of the above, to the original petition and to these the petition for a rehearing, because I had a second bite at the apple, including the appendices A through D and appendix E in particular, where Brian Davidson, who's a licensed private investigator in the state of Texas, who's done brilliant work on Buffalo and Uvalde, he's a real master of internet techniques of investigation, found his way into the Sandy Hook, the Connecticut State Police files on Sandy Hook, all their photographic evidence, from which remarkably all the metadata had been removed, where the metadata tells you when it was taken and other identifying information, evidently in a manifestation of consciousness of guilt, but where the photos in their own file contradict their official narrative. For example, they claim that the teacher, Don Hawkspring, and the school psychologist, Mary Sherlock, were killed in the hallway and were lying there in pools of blood. Well, Brian found photographs down the hallway. Not only is there no body of Don Hawkspring or of Mary Sherlock, there are no pools of blood. Not only that, but inside a classroom where you expect to see a pile of little bodies and blood everywhere, not only is no pile of bodies and blood everywhere, not there, but there aren't even any student desks and chairs. There's no teacher's desk. There's no American flag, meaning what he unearthed is not only evidence supporting that it was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder, that nobody died, but that it wasn't even an operating school, which was a conclusion I and my dozen other collaborators, 13 altogether, including six PhDs, had established the school had been closed by 2008. I'm now understanding, actually, it was closed 2 years earlier in 2006. This was very elaborate, very staged. They had auditions for roles. I mean, I'm telling you, totally scripted. Sometimes they got off the script. And the state police seem to have bobbled the ball in any number of ways. Now, knowing those things and proving them are two different questions, of course. But all this evidence was before the Supreme Court. And again, I am given to understand by parties in a position to know that they could not allow my Supreme Court case to go forward, because once they granted reversal of my case, not only would everyone's attention be drawn to this very evidence, which when they docketed my case incidentally, but they made the brief, my petition available to the public, where you could go to the Supreme Court website and download it. They did not make the appendices public. So you can find the appendices on my blog. But it says there were other documents filed in this case, but you have to reach out to the clerk of the Supreme Court. Well, they were burying the evidence that I think, were the public to review, would have ignited a firestorm, because this has been the foundation, the linchpin of all the gun-grabbing agenda for the Obama administration. As I've reported many times, I believe this was a Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Eric Holder, in combination with Governor Daniel Malloy, the Newtown School Board, the Newtown Police Department, and more, including, of course, the Connecticut State Police, who were basically running the op behind the scene, to create a faux terrorism event that would instill fear into the population, the target population, which of course is citizens of the United States, especially parents, in order to make them more amenable to manipulation and supporting a political agenda, to it, gun control. By the way, it's very damn interesting down in Brazil right now. There's been a 27% drop in the homicide rate since the president loosened it up gun restrictions there. And we find this pattern worldwide. The more guns, the fewer homicides. The fewer guns, the more homicide. Worldwide. It was, in the past, the case that North America, the United States and Canada, were the highest gun ownership countries in the world and had the lowest homicide rates. And that South America, including Brazil, which had a strong gun control, few guns, had a high homicide rate. Now, that's been reversed. In Canada, they're taking away guns, and the homicide rate is growing. And in Brazil, they've given back guns, and the homicide rate is dropping. Fascinating. It just shows that Democrats are just buying into an ideological premise that has no empirical or historical support. So when Biden continues to talk about taking guns from the American people, clearly violative of the Second Amendment, our right to keep and bear arms, which shall not be infringed, that it's just outrageous what's going on here. And by the way, not only have I explained that a guy posing as Joe Biden isn't the real Joe who appears to have died in 2017. Every now and then you'll see an interview with a real guy. He had this huge grin. He had a very expressive face. This guy does not. He doesn't have an expressive face. He doesn't have a huge grin. Also, the real Biden had a larger skull, a replacement, a narrower skull. A pharmacist who's responsible for verifying signatures so he's not dispensing drugs illegally to persons who are feigning to be legally entitled to have them, compared the guy in the Oval Office now, Joe Biden, with a real Joe, and their signatures are completely different, completely different. I've documented this many places, including, by the way, in a presentation I gave back in 2020 to my first False Flags and Conspiracies conference entitled Deception Galore. Now, there I go through a whole lot of uses of body doubles that are rather stunning, including by Hillary Clinton, also by Joe Biden. And in addition, now we know that Michelle Obama is actually a man with breast implants. That may strike you as odd as hell. Look at it and you will see. I don't leave room for doubt. So, you know, if you want to understand what's really going on, we're being played all the time. Political theater. I just received a phone call today from a highly reliable source that they actually have a latex mask of Joe Biden. And indeed, in various images, you can see down at the neckline where the latex mask ends and where the party playing Biden by wearing the latex mask begins. I mean, it's very clear in some of these images. That means we really have no idea who in the world this is, because they've created a voice box that can give you the party's voice. It sounds exactly the same. That's how Hillary got away with faking using body doubles, even in national debates with Bernie Sanders and with Donald Trump. The national debates with Hillary Clinton were with a Hillary body double. I mean, it sounds mind-boggling. Do you actually think they could get away on a national television stage to run out a body double? Well, it happened repeatedly and for good reason. Hillary is an old hag. She's got real baggy eyes. She's very unpleasant. She's very unattractive, physically overweight. This was a slimmer, trimmer, healthier, far more attractive version of Hillary. I mean, you check it out, Deception Galore. You're going to be blown away. And I include there a report from a journalist from the New York Times who was saying how Hillary had come to Broadway and gone to four different plays. Well, I wrote him and I said, you know, that was a very interesting article, but none of those women were Hillary Clinton. I mean, it ought to have been a tell that she didn't have a Secret Service, you know, detail with her. But more importantly, I mean, these were simply other body doubles. And, of course, I can write directly to the reporter, but I never hear a word back about it. I mean, the New York Times had become a rag, a real rag. It's full of propaganda, deliberately misleading information. And yet the New York Times is supposed to be our nation's newspaper of record. Give me a break. There was a time when I was in graduate school. I had there was a PhD student in psychology whom I was dating, actually to whom I was engaged, who lived and breathed by the New York Times. She'd have to get the New York Times every single morning. She'd read virtually every damn word of it. And at that time, this was in like the mid to late 1970s, the New York Times was actually a responsible newspaper. Those times are long past. Indeed, if you want to get an update on what's really going on with the New York Times, you want to check out Mike King, his anti-New York Times pieces, where he just time and time again goes after the New York Times for publishing bullshit, and he dissects it very effectively. He's doing for the New York Times what I do with my colleagues for all these false flags. This is, of course, the reason why. Not only was my book on Sandy Hook banned, but also on the Boston bombing, Orlando and Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, even the moon landing. Really ridiculous. But that appears to have been at the behest of the Anti-Defamation League, which asked Amazon to ban any book that disputed the official narrative of the Holocaust. And they banned that book because it has a section. I mean, this is a great book. I love this book. It begins with essays about the moon landing and how we know we didn't go. Then it has a section on the death and replacement of Paul McCartney, which is among the most emotional issues with which I ever deal. Then it has a couple of chapters about the first death of Saddam Hussein, where the guy we put on trial is actually a body double, and the second death of Osama bin Laden, because the real Osama was our man in Afghanistan. He actually died of his medical maladies on 15 December 2001, where Barack Obama found it politically expedient to resurrect him and now have him die again in a stage raid on a compound in Pakistan where none of the residents had ever seen hiding her hair of Osama bin Laden because he wasn't there. This is a case where they claim they dumped the body at sea. Why? Because the body was totally fake. Even the images they showed that was supposed to be the shot up Osama were all photoshopped. Just disgusting. But then in addition, there's a section by some of the best experts that ever studied the Holocaust, including Robert Forresson, Thomas Dalton, Nick Kohlerstrom, and I myself. So I say that's a wonderful, wonderful book. If you go to moonrockbooks.com, you can check it out. I mean, if you ever want to give someone a present that's going to rattle their cage, that's going to give them something to think about. And I suppose we didn't go to the moon either. It would be your ticket. The title, by the way, was suggested by my co-editor of Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, of how someone might respond to hearing the title. Nobody Died at Sandy Hook. Oh, and I suppose we didn't go to the moon either. Well, no, we didn't go to the moon either. No, we didn't go to the moon. So I just say, you know, when it comes into the gift category, you might check out Moonrock Books. It really got something for everyone. And there are other books there, including by Nick Kohlerstrom on, European false flag attacks in Europe, where he goes through 13, by Larry Rivera on the JFK horsemen, the motorcycle escort officers, where Larry Rivera is doing the cutting edge research. on JFK Today out of the newly released documents. Other good stuff there. You really might want to check it out. Moonrockbooks.com. So I'm continuing to pursue my legal efforts. And I will, of course, keep you posted as to how things turn out. After the break, I'm going to turn to what are, if anything, more serious issues. Because it turns out that the CIA, our CIA, is directing sabotage inside Russia, which makes the CIA itself an enemy combatant. I mean, in my opinion, Russia would be entitled to take out Langley. A cruise missile into Langley is something that, as I understand international law, would be justifiable, given the CIA is directing sabotage attacks inside Russia. But the situation is even grimmer than that when we return.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda.
countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
What's going on here ranks right up there with the dumbest things America has ever done. Of course, you got a completely incompetent president. They wanted him in there because any rational American who was in that position of responsibility would shudder at the thought of flooding America with 100 million refugees. Or the idea of provoking Russia into a nuclear exchange that could wipe out conservatively a third of the world's population. And where it appears increasingly that Israel, the Zionists, are behind the war in Ukraine, where Jamie Raskin is declaring that we must defend at all costs, regardless of the expense to the United States, regardless, which is, of course, consistent with the pledge Cynthia McKinney revealed, where new members of Congress are asked to sign a pledge that they'll put the interests of Israel ahead of even those of the United States. That makes the United States Israel's bitch. That makes the United States Israel's whipping boy. That means Israel can fight wars to the last American soldier. I mean, it's just disgusting. Now, if you want to see the capstone of stupidity, here it is. The CIA is directing sabotage attacks inside Russia. This is from antiwar.com, by the way, which is highly responsible, completely sober and well-founded in its reporting. The CIA has been using a European NATO country's intelligence services to conduct sabotage attacks inside Russia. Since the February invasion of Ukraine, investigative journalist Jack Murphy reported on Saturday, citing unnamed former U.S. intelligence and military officials. The report said that no U.S. personnel are on the ground in Russia, but that the operations are being directed by the CIA. The U.S. is using an ally's intelligence services to add an extra layer of plausible deniability. And a former U.S. Special Operations officer told Murphy that layer was a major factor in President Biden signing off on the attacks, whoever President Biden may be. Murphy said he didn't name the NATO country whose intelligence services were being used in the report because doing so might endanger the operational security of cells that are still operational inside of Russia. The report appeared on Murphy's personal website. In a note at the end, he explained why it wasn't published by a media outlet. While working with editors at mainstream publications, I was asked to do things that were illegal and unethical in one instance, and in another, I felt that a senior CIA official was able to edit my article by making off-the-record statements before he leaked the story to, guess who, the New York Times, to undermine this piece. According to the report, the covert campaign inside Russia has been years in the making. Two former military officials said that the NATO country spy services had a hidden cache of explosives and equipment in Russia more than a decade ago in some of the gear has been used recently. A former U.S. Special Operations official and U.S. person briefed on the campaign said that the CIA didn't get involved with the NATO country's operations inside Russia until 2014. The first time sleeper cells entered Russia that were directed by both the CIA and the NATO Allied Spy Service was in 2016, and more entered the country in the following years. The NATO ally provided the undercover operatives with stories to explain their presence in Russia and documents to back them up. The report said that around the time Russia invaded Ukraine on February 24th, the NATO ally spy service activated its sleeper cells inside Russia using covert communications, and they were ready for orders on what targets to strike. It's not clear how many attacks the sleeper cells have been responsible for, but there has been a series of mysterious explosions at Russian military facilities, power plants, and railways since the invasion. The report suggested that saboteurs could have been behind an April fire at the Research Institute of Russia's Aerospace Defense Forces, which killed more than 20 people. The sabotage operation the CIA has overseen require a presidential finding. President Obama signed a finding before he left office that allowed covert action against Russia over allegations that Moscow interfered in the 2016 election, a claim that has never been proven. According to the Washington Post, Obama's finding allows planting cyber weapons in Russia's infrastructure, the digital equivalent of bombs that could be detonated if the United States found itself in an escalating exchange with Moscow. Murphy cited a former CIA official who said the findings also allow sabotage operation against Russia, although other former officials he spoke with said the current operation would have required an amendment or an entirely new finding. A CIA spokesman, surprise, surprise, denied the allegation made in the report. But Murphy pointed out the spy agency can legally deny the existence of its covert ops. The CIA directing sabotage inside Russia risks a major escalation between NATO and Russia and could lead to a nuclear escalation. Ukraine has recently stepped up its own attacks inside Russian territory. And according to the Times, the Pentagon tacitly endorsed recent drone strikes that hit air bases deep inside Russian territory, adding to the risk of escalation. In his note at the end of the report, Murphy said he published a story to inform the public. Indeed, the Russian government knows perfectly well who is sponsoring these sabotage strikes. Moreover, the intelligence community wants them to know. The only party left in the dark is the public at large, left underway of the shadow war taking place behind the scene. Murphy said the article went through a vigorous fact-checking process and was deemed newsworthy as the strategic bombings of Laos and Cambodia or the CIA secret drone campaign in Pakistan. More. Medvedev. World teetering on the brink of World War III, a nuclear catastrophe. Russia's former president and current deputy chair of the Security Council, Dmitry Medvedev, wrote a lengthy article for Russia Gazeta newspaper in which he summarized his thoughts on how the year 2022 has changed the world order forever. The only thing that stops our enemies today, he said, is the understanding that Russia will be guided by the doctrine on nuclear deterrence. And if there is a real threat, we will act, Medvedev wrote in an article published Sunday night, noting in such a grim scenario, there will be no one left to argue about whether that was a retaliatory strike or a preventive one. Therefore, the Western world is balancing between a burning desire to maximally humiliate, dismember, and destroy Russia on the one hand, and the desire to avoid a nuclear apocalypse on the other. And I agree with the implication you cannot have both. Until Russia receives the security guarantees it has demanded, the world will continue to teeter on the brink of World War III, a nuclear catastrophe. Noting that Moscow is doing and will continue to do everything we can to prevent it. Last December, Russia presented a list of security proposals to the U.S. and NATO, among other things, urging the West to impose a ban on Ukraine entering the military bloc, while insisting that NATO should retreat to its borders of 1997 before it began to expand. After the U.S. and NATO flatly refused, saying they'd only be interested in a limited strategic arms control talk, it became obvious that Moscow has no one to talk to and nothing to negotiate about with the West. And when in February, Ukrainian junkies announced their desire to revive their nuclear arsenal, Moscow had no other choice but to act. Notice, that's another reason. Not only was Kiev mobilizing for a massive onslaught on the Donbass, which is populated with Russian ethnic and Russian-speaking and Russian-favorably population, but, and the biolabs, which the United States has now acknowledged existed there, but, they were talking about their desire to have nuclear weapons in Ukraine. How could Russia do anything other than act? Our world has changed forever. And the main question remains, what kind of future begins today, Medvedev wrote. New disarmament agreements are currently unrealistic and unnecessary, he reiterated. The sooner the guarantees of maximum security that suit our country are received, the sooner the situation will normalize. Earlier this month, Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Ryabkov said Moscow is willing to discuss the subject of security guarantees again if the West is serious about it. But until then, Russia will continue to respond appropriately to any further NATO expansion. And by the way, how could Moscow ever take the word of the West? We have lied again and again and again. Remember, at the time of the dissolution of the Soviet Union in 1991, Secretary of State Baker was affirming that NATO would not expand one inch to the east. And at the time, there were like 14 NATO nations. Today, there are like 30, all from expansion to the east. And then when Russia, in good faith, entered into negotiation to resolve the Ukrainian situation by way of the Minsk Accord, that we're going to be respectful of Luhansk and Donetsk as independent regions that were going to have their own autonomy. Russia agreed, but again, its confidence in the West was destroyed. Angela Merkel has said the Minsk agreements were never intended to be satisfied or adhered to. The Minsk agreements were only to buy time to arm Ukraine against Russia. Angela Merkel, how could Russia ever believe anything the West says? In my opinion, they cannot. They can only be responsible for their own security, which is what they are doing now in Ukraine and elsewhere. Since the conflict in Ukraine escalated in February, the bloc has moved to welcome Sweden and Finland into its ranks, though the expansion is yet to be finalized. How dumb can you get? The Swedes and the Finns, Scandinavia, I always admired because they remain neutral, militarily neutral. And now you've got them signing into NATO. Mind you, that's going to make them targets. If there's now a war, Finland and Sweden have now put themselves in the crosshairs. Meanwhile, get this. Again, from Dave DeCamp at antiwar.com. Lavrov says Pentagon threatening a decapitation strike against Putin. Look, if the Russians weren't already paranoid enough, look at this. It's as a friend used to say, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they aren't out to get you. That's going on here. The West, the United States, is out to get Russia. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, Tuesday, that would be yesterday, said that statements made to the media by anonymous Pentagon officials amount to threats against Russian President Vladimir Putin's life. There are some anonymous officials from the Pentagon who've actually enunciated threats to deliver a decapitation strike on the Kremlin, which is in fact an assassination threat against a Russian president, Lavrov said, according to the Russian news agency TASS. Lavrov appeared to be referring to a report from Newsweek that was published in September that cited anonymous U.S. military sources who said the U.S. was considering a decapitation strike to kill Putin in the heart of the Kremlin. In response to the Russian leader's warning, he could use nuclear weapons to defend Russia's territorial integrity. And by the way, there was a previous attempt on Putin's life, where a vehicle in which he was believed to be riding appears to have been commandeered by satellite. This is one of the problems when you have computerized controls of vehicles. They can be taken over by malevolent forces and run into a collision with some massive truck, as I recall. The occupant died, but it was a Putin double, not Vladimir himself. But that just shows how serious is a plot to assassinate. And then we have Lindsey Graham calling for a Brutus in Russia to assassinate Vladimir Putin. Lindsey Graham, I dare say, may be signing his own death warrant. I can't imagine the Russians looking kindly on an American senator making such a declaration. Remember, three American presidents, Carter, Reagan, and Ford, all signed executive orders against the assassination of foreign heads of state. Indeed, that's why, after Saddam Hussein was taken out in a B-1 bomber pilot raid on a restaurant on the outskirts of Baghdad on 5 April 2003, just 3 weeks into the Iraqi incursion, which demolished the restaurant, killed Saddam, his two sons, and 40 or 50 members of his general staff. Where even Dick Cheney was quoted in the New York Times saying, "I think we got Saddam, his lifeless body was dragged out of the rubble." When they're going to have the mission accomplished event on the USS Lincoln off the coast of San Diego, George Bush was going to make the announcement. But then someone, and we suspect it was Donald Rumsfeld, realized that if he declared we'd assassinated the head of a foreign state, we'd be in violation of those executive orders signed by Carter, Reagan, and Ford. And in effect, W would be acknowledging that he'd violated the laws of the United States, which is why the whole thing turned out to be such a shamble. It was incoherent. Why? Because it's all set up to deliver the message that Saddam had been taken out, and then they couldn't announce it. That's why they found the body double in a spider hole, or so we're told. That's why we put him on trial. Joe Viles, who's a photojournalist from Australia, was the first to observe that it wasn't the same guy. Saddam Hussein had wonderful teeth. And an overbite, meaning his upper teeth come down over his lower teeth. The body double had bad teeth and an underbite, meaning his lower teeth extend outside of his upper. Not the same guy. Very analogous, by the way, to the proofs that Paul McCartney and his double, to whom we refer as Faul, F-A-U-L, instead of P-A-U-L, for false Paul or fake Paul, was Billy Shearer, a musician introduced by the Beatles and Sgt. Pepper's band. One and only Billy Shearer had different teeth and a different palate, also a different height. Billy Shears is 4 inches taller than Paul McCartney. Billy Shears has normal teeth and a normal palate. Paul McCartney had bad teeth and a narrow palate. Two Italian forensic scientists set off to disprove the hypothesis that Paul had died and been replaced and wound up confirming it. It was their research that convinced me it had actually taken place. You don't want to miss it. It's in the book. I think it's also in, it may or may not be in Deception Galore, but I have most certainly discussed it in other presentations of mine. Returning to Lavrov. It's not clear from the context if the unnamed sources meant the assassination plot was being considered as a potential response to Russia using nuclear weapons, or if it could happen before that. Either way, U.S. military official discussing such a plan is extremely provocative, even if they are speaking on the condition of anonymity. Lazarus' comments came after Senator Lindsey Graham said the only way the war in Ukraine will end is if Russia breaks and someone takes Putin out. The Russian diplomat didn't mention Graham's remarks that said Western powers want to destroy Russia. It's no secret to anyone that the strategic goal of the United States and its NATO allies is to defeat Russia on the battlefield as a mechanism for significantly weakening or even destroying our country. Does anyone have any doubt? Does anyone have any doubt? I mean, this is just incredible stuff. And to making these observations, to be making these observations publicly, to be declaring that they want to assassinate the president of Russia. How would you react if we were told they wanted to assassinate a president of the United States? Say, when a strong, vigorous president such as Donald Trump was in office. I don't think any American would be enthusiastic about that. Not at all. So, how do you think Russia is going to respond? I mean, this is just absolutely stunning stuff. If you want to virtually guarantee that there's going to be a nuclear annihilation, and believe me, they've already declared that London is going to be the first city targeted, echoing the sentiment of Muammar Gaddafi, who observed that if you want to end terrorism in the West, in the world, just lob a cruise missile into the city of London, that 1 square mile autonomous region at the heart of London, which is the home of the Rothschild family banking empire, which is out to create the new world order, and where they have declared Vladimir Putin is an enemy of the new world order, and that the new world order cannot proceed absent Ukraine. And this because they want to turn Ukraine into the new Israel. Remember, the occupants of Israel are Ashkenazi Jews. They're descendants of the Khazarians. Khazaria is a region now modern-day Ukraine. So the Ashkenazi Jews want to return to their homeland, Khazaria, in Ukraine, and make it the new Israel. And if you have the U.S. Congress saying they're going to put the interests of Israel ahead of even those of the United States, that makes us a suckers. That makes us a fall guys. That makes us a puppets for the international Zionist movement, of which the peak is the Rothschild family. And they're out to destroy as much of the world's population as they can. How disgusting is that? How disgusting is that? I'll not forget years ago when my dear colleague, Gary King, before we were about to do an interview, and we were talking about the pledge, asked me if I knew how many members of the then current Congress had refused to sign the pledge. I said I did not know. And he held up one finger of one hand. One member of Congress had refused to sign the pledge. Stunning. Absolutely stunning stuff. And yes, we will open the lines for calls. I'd love first-time callers to join. 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. And remember, I just did a top 10 stories of 2022. In fact, there were so many, there was actually a top 12. And then I even threw in an honorable mention. So I actually gave you a baker's dozen of top 10 stories for 2022. We can discuss any of those as well. So stand by, 540-352-4452. Mitchell will field your call, and we'll get you on the air. And I really encourage first-time callers, please, 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 I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear from you. We have some wonderful regulars, but I like to get diverse points of view. Take advantage of the opportunity.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Mitchell, you've been doing a great job at carrying the ball. Let me invite your thoughts about all of the above. It seems to me the United States is sticking its neck way out there, and it's about to get it lopped off. What are your thoughts about this business conducting these attacks inside Russia directed by the CIA and threatening a decapitation strike to take out Putin? I mean, this seems to me to be pure idiocy. Your thoughts?
Well, Jim, it absolutely is. It is idiocracy. But it's not unexpected, in all honesty. The United States has been at war during the entire Cold War with the Soviet Union. And the United States has been continuing that war after the breakup of the Soviet Union. What has happened is the rest of the world believed that we had a detente with Russia, and we never did. The American colonial British Empire never stopped growing. It's like a Borg that is working to assimilate European, black, the old Iron Curtain countries. And if you're not aware, I don't know if you're aware of the growing tension and conflict in Kosovo and Serbia are back at it again as the, I believe it was Kosovo had blocked the major roads. And the Serbians were starting to mobilize militarily. This was just yesterday. I didn't know if you were aware of that. Well, there's a lot of ethnic tensions that have arisen and are, continue to be hot in that region. So it is, it's a boiling pot of, war. I guess that's the only way to describe it. And we really have never had peace because the U.S. has been continually at war. One of the things that I covered on Monday in my synopsis of this Ukrainian, Russian war, is the fact that we were supposedly in negotiations in most of 2021 and into this early this year with Russia on the NATO and the U.S. advancement towards the border of Russia. I don't know if you're aware that Victoria Nuland was actually the one leading that charge. And that we attacked Kazakhstan with a color revolution in January of early this year. And, we were supposedly, there was an agreement, a memorandum of understanding about these activities on the Russian border. And within a month, the U.S. had broken those diplomatic agreements. So I don't see any way to head off a major conflict, particularly since the U.S. has this psychological psychological war profile blaming Russia and so many Americans have blindly bought it. And Brian has joined us, by the way.
All right. Well, Mitch, I'd like you to stand by here. Brian, give us your thoughts today, my friend.
Well, there was a false flag that I know about that's been well documented, but I've never heard you talk about it. And I was wondering if it's just because you're not aware or you just, it's the Gabby Gifford wounding and the killing of that Judge Ball in Tucson in 2011 by Gerald Loeffner. Is that one you just don't cover or you just weren't aware, or I'm just curious is all.
No, it looks like the effort was actually to take out the judge who had a reputation
yes.
for handing down maximum sentences. And there was a drug dealer who was going to be before him. And he didn't want that judge to sentence him because he was sure he would be so severe. I'm not at all sure whether Gabby was bona fidely shot or not shot. I do know she got a lot of mileage, and there's more than one person who appears to be playing at Gabby Gifford. So it's just one that I haven't spent a lot of time on, Brian. But, yeah, it was not on the up and up. I certainly agree. Your further thoughts about it?
Well, there was a website way back when called WellAware, one word, one, the numeral one.com, and they had just excellent stuff on that because they had pictures from the you know, crime scene, and you could see all the actors with their lanyards around their necks with a different color, you know, and then it would explain, like, the gray color means you're this, the blue color means you're emergency personnel, and then they had a picture of one of the people, you know, working on the shooting victims down by this alleged shooting victim, and he's got a book open. He's reading in the book what he's supposed to do, and you can see the little book there is technical manual, and the fact that they had a drill going on that day. I think it was a Safeway store, and down the road there was a Safeway store where the drill was going on. So when the calls went in for real emergency personnel, it went to the fake, you know, drill. And I mean, it was just really detailed. And it was one of my first exposures to false flag, and it was just many years ago. But I checked yesterday, and that WellAware One website is still up, and I didn't, you know, delve into it again, but it looked like it was still there. I tried to find those Johnson tapes where I told you about the ambassador of Israel right before the Liberty, and I found all the tapes, but that one had been removed, and it was taken over by some outfit in Israel was in charge of all that now. So I can see why they removed that one, but there were a lot of those Johnson tapes. I even found a TV show that delved into those Johnson tapes, but of course you never hear about the one with the ambassador there. So that's all I had.
Well, that's good stuff. Mitchell, would you like to follow up about the Gabby Gifford shooting?
Well, I really, in all honesty, I don't know a lot about it. I know some of the background. Every shooting is a tragedy, and what happens is it is used. It is, you know, the aftermath of everything has been weaponized. Every car accident, every tragedy, you know, every, you know, person that, you know, loses their mind and has a psychotic break. But, you know, in today's world, where, you know, so many people in the words of Morpheus, you know, there are so many people still plugged into this system, and they're so broken, they are hopelessly addicted and hopelessly connected to this system that we have. And even if they could, they wouldn't wake up because they don't have the willpower or, you know, even the will to do it. So
yes,
It's very tough. Psyopocracy that's been termed this past week, you know, basically we live in a world that everything is a political psyop, and people are immersed in this, well, in an alternative world. And it's no wonder people are encouraging grooming of young children and, you know, condemning people who don't take a vaccine that doesn't work. Voting, you know, God, I think about the old moral majority of the Republican Party of the Ronald Reagan era. And I think, God, you know, those sheeple were so blindly voting. And I used to talk about and tell my friends and say, oh, Jesus, look at them. They're all in step. And it's the same way with the left. But the thing is, they truly are all Federalists. You know, when you look at Republicans and you look at Democrats, the main thing that they believe in is that systemic superiority of the federal government, and everything they do, you know, is to increase that power. And it's not just, you know, one side, the left or the right, you know, it's really the Federalists versus freedom for America. That makes
sense. I think you got that right. Yes, I agree with all that. It's very, very troubling indeed. Brian, did you want to add further thoughts?
You know, when he mentions those parties and how they're Federalists, what it reminds me of is something that hit me, and that there was on Giuseppe Vefandulo or whatever, he had Monica Schaefer on, and you know who
yeah.
Monica Schaefer is.
Sure.
And she was talking about when everything first happened to her, where she was accused of being this Holocaust denier. She went back to her little village, you know, it was not a big place in Canada. And she had all of these people that suddenly just turned on her. She said, I had no idea these people were who they were, and they were Jews, I guess. And man, she said it was a real eye-opener. And I had the same thing happen to me, because I would go to this coffee shop in the morning here in Kansas City, and it had a lot of Jewish people in there. And they were solving a crossword puzzle, and there was, you know, some clue. And I didn't even really know much about the Talmud then, but I spoke up in the coffee shop, and I said, it sounds like the answer is the Talmud. And every one of those Jews in there, like all at once, just went nuts on me. Okay. I mean, they just went nuts. And then, it was when the Khazar thing was first coming out, and I had a sprinkler customer from Ukraine who was a Khazar. And I was telling him what I was reading Clayster's book, The 13th Tribe on the Khazars, and I'm talking to him about it. And he said, you know, what you're talking about is just taboo. It's something we don't want knowing, you know. And he's like saying, you shouldn't be talking about that. Well, one of the customers in that shop was worked for the post office, and he was pretty intellectual. And I started telling him about the Khazars. And boy, did they go nuts again. They just, one of them came up to me, and she was this elderly Jewish woman that would always come in every day with a grapefruit. Be always nice. How's your dog? How's your kids? And she just got in my face, and she starts doing what Russ Winter said, the pill pot or something like this, where she's trying to divert me away from what I'm talking about by claiming something about her mother had some kid who worked for her, and he was Hispanic, but he was retarded, so things that he said weren't true. And I said, yeah, but this guy that I was talking about from Ukraine, he's a professor of history And then that shut her up. But then after that, they wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't talk to me. And what it dawned on me was, and with what Monica said, is they have a hive mind. It's like you're dealing with a hive mind. The fact that all of them at once, you know, just boom, like, my God, where's this coming from? It was the same thing Monica said. So when you talk about these people in government, they have a hive mind. It's like they all have the same thing thinking at the same time. And that's kind of what you're dealing with. So that's just what I had to say.
Well, that's all good stuff, Brian. Good stuff. Tell me, Mitchell, more. What's going on out there in the world? I'm just, astonished. We do have a, you know, late developments with Carrie Lake, who's been beat up. The judge at least wasn't holding her for having filed in bad faith, which I think was the attempt here to hold her responsible.
Yes.
So he's dismissed her claim, and she's going to appeal, and well, she should, because it's just outrageous. I'm unclear whether the fact that this judge had excluded most of the charges she'd raised, which seemed to me all to be well-founded, she can bring them back up again. I suspect she might be able to do that. Your thoughts?
Well, I do know that she filed, I believe, this morning earlier. She did file with the judge with an intent to appeal. I don't know if you knew that had happened earlier. It's a real question that, you know, at what level does incompetence rise and negligence, you know, rise to the level of malfeasance, you know? And this is kind of the question that the judge really kind of had to try to figure out and answer is, did they really intentionally do this, or did they just, you know, F up? Did they just screw up, you know? And it's a sad state of affairs, because this is the same thing we saw in the Trump-Russia collusion through the entire FBI, through the, you know, the Mueller special counsel investigative team. And now we even learn that the Inspector General Michael Horowitz had really hid Igor Danchenko and Sergey Milan and all that stuff. You know, why did they just wait until, you know, this very end and then expose all of this stuff with Danchenko after, you know, clearly, you know, that Durham as a special counsel was just essentially a cleanup cycle for the deep state. You know, all these sons of bitches, I've said it on my show, should be taken to Gitmo and waterboarded with and brought back to life after they die. I have no compassion for a lot of these folks. God forgive me. But, you know, Comey, McCabe, Strzok, Page, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, the pedo president, these guys need to be held accountable. That's the only way we can restore faith in our government and our country. And I don't see it. I just don't see it, in all honesty, it coming. And, you know, as you know, Jim, you know, those who make peaceful revolutions impossible create the violent revolutions that are inevitable.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Absolutely right. Well, it appears that sleeper lawsuit is making its way into the Supreme Court, but honestly, it didn't seem to me to be very well constructed, so I don't know how much faith one ought to have in it. Enter Rolon Brunson, a Utah man who filed a lawsuit against Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, former Vice President Mike Pence, and the 385 members of Congress who certified the results of the 2020 presidential election and paved the way for Biden becoming our president. He claims that all those allegations about fraud, or at least a larger one of election fraud, should have been investigated thoroughly before the election results were certified. And since they were not, Biden, Harris, Pence, and all of Congress are guilty of treason and of violating the U.S. Constitution. As such, Brunson, joined in the suit by his three brothers, says that Biden should be immediately removed from office and Trump installed as the nation's rightful president. Now, to a great many of you, that seems a bit ridiculous. I mean, as already mentioned, Biden's been in the Oval Office for 3 years nearly. Isn't it too late to reverse? Well, that may be in this report about it. However, this case just made it to the Supreme Court. So that gives a presumption of having some credibility. Indeed, according to the Supreme Court records, it was put on the docket or scheduled back in October. SCOTUS is set for a hearing on January 6th. Seems rather fitting, doesn't it? Since that would be the second anniversary of the day Americans went to the Capitol to protest the very same election result being discussed in this case. According to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 10th Circuit, Brunson alleged that before accepting the electoral votes on January 6, 2021, defendants intentionally refused to investigate evidence that the November 2020 presidential election was fraudulent. For Brunson, this was essentially an act of war against the Constitution, violating the oath that these government heads had taken to protect and uphold that document. Now, as Tim Casanova, a constitutional law scholar and professor at Nova Northeastern University Shepherd Broad College of Law in Florida, says, SCOTUS is likely taking on the case to get ahead of a bit of damage control that could result should it gain traction in the media. Brunson's allegations and recently proven facts that the Intelligence Committee colluded with the social media to suppress anything negative about the Biden family and made the American people rather restless on the subject. The thought is that if SCOTUS does not intervene, the United States could find itself in a bit of a constitutional crisis. However, that does not mean Brunson's allegations are not worth hearing or all false. As Carol Casanova says, the very fact the case has made its way to the Supreme Court suggests the high court has reason to believe that violation of our Constitution may in fact have occurred during the certification of 2020 election results, as well as the action of the January 6th Congressional Committee and an intelligence community that is supposed to remain impartial to politics. And of course, it doesn't mean the Supreme Court would oust Biden from office. Some could say too much time has passed for that to happen. Much would have to change to make it so. It would be a royal mess in foreign policy side of things alone. But, you know, I'm not at all sure that because it's reached the point of going into conference, that means there's any form of endorsement by the court itself. My case made it into conference and then was rejected. My best guess would be the similar fate awaits this. But it certainly has a lot of merit in terms of the facts of the matter. Mitchell, would you agree?
Well, Jim, we live in such perilous times. You know, I don't really trust much of anything looking forward because everything is so unstable. Everything is a moving target. I don't know. That makes sense.
Well, you know, I felt my case was so important. I mean, you had State of the Nation declare that the issues raised were the most important to come before the Supreme Court in our lifetime because they're focused on a right to a trial by jury before we're absolutely deprived of life, liberty, or property. And yet they didn't take it. So,
yes.
You know.
Well, you know, the problem is today, you know, as you found out, they have already decided the facts before they even get into court. And, you know, they decided that what you had to say and all the evidence you had was not true. And the judge threw all that out and essentially blocked you from even presenting any of it. That itself is not law and not justice. It's a travesty for truth. And that's what happened. And you never got a chance to present your information. And that's a problem.
Well, of course, I have a hard time disagreeing with you, my friend.
Well,
just embarrassing how these things are playing out.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you really never got to, you know, bring your experts. The judge essentially disallowed most of what you had to say in your testimony and, you know, rubber stamped what anything that the mainstream narrative and Lenny Posner had put out there. You know,
it's absolutely stunning. I mean, you had the Court of Appeals, to which I'm now returning, declare that it's reasonable to believe the official narrative, blah, 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 blah. And it's unreasonable to believe it was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. And how in the world would they know that?
Right.
In fact, I point out here that in making that assumption, they even cited where Neil Haslund claimed that he had held his dying son in his arms. And I point out that. How could the court possibly be in a position to judge what's reasonable or not if they don't know the facts of the matter? Because what he said contradicted Wayne Carver's declaration.
Agreed.
That the parents weren't allowed to come in contact with their children. Thanks.
Amen.
For being here, everyone. See you on Friday.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence...